This podcast contains sensitive topics such as murder, violence, and sexual abuse.
We asked to hear your theories about the case. Here are some theories about Burke Ramsey and the pineapples.
Okay. Here's my theory. Here's been my longtime theory of what I think happened that night. I think the family comes home from their Christmas party, okay? Burke goes to the kitchen, is eating his pineapple. JonBenet had already gone to bed. JonBenet heard him, goes downstairs because she wants a pineapple. Burke's a little insane. So JonBenet comes downstairs to get his pineapple. Burke gets mad because she tries to take his. He gets the flashlight, closest thing to him, hits her upside the head. I don't think he went into it knowing he was going to kill her. I think he had serious issues as a child. Hit her. Parents hear the commotion. What's going on? Come downstairs. JonBenet's dead on the floor. Not to their perfect American family. Boom. They spring into action. There's nothing that's going to ruin their name. Mom writes the ransom note. Dad hides the body. Why was mom in the same clothes she wore to the Christmas party the morning that the cops got there? Because she was too busy up all night trying to form the perfect crime scene. Why were the friends the first people that were called? Why were the neighbors over there trying to find her body? Because they knew they needed a contaminated crime scene. There was nobody broke in, okay? It was an inside job. They were in cahoots. And that's my theory.
I think Burke did it based on all the evidence that I've seen. I think the parents just covered it up, and I think they did a fairly good job of covering it up.
Okay, so based on the information I've been given so far from your podcast and from what I remember, I would say that I'm more inclined to believe that it was an accident. Not an intruder, and that everything that's happened subsequently is a cover-up from the family.
I think that the whole family was in on it. I think that ultimately the brother probably was the one to, like, assault her, like, finally. But I think both the dad and the brother were, like, doing inappropriate things. I think the mom wrote the note.
Hey, Sam and Lindsay. So, I want to get right to it. I believe I offer a unique perspective. I'm embarrassed to say that at first I suspected Burke, simply based on the Dr. Phil interview and the tapes that have leaked. He was just a child, and to expect him to be this completely, like, articulate, well-adjusted adult now is really far-fetched. And it makes me feel somewhat ableist that I thought that way. I have PTSD, well, CPTSD, and dissociative staring and unique trauma responses such as laughing is very common within our community.
Hello, happy Thursday, right?
Happy Thursday to you.
It is Thursday.
And many more.
I'm going to apologize in advance. I can already tell Lindsay's going to be very annoying this episode. I don't know if she's going to annoy anyone listening, but for me personally, I can feel the annoying energy through the Zoom screen, and I just wanted to give a little bit of a trigger warning for her annoyingness today.
People who are easily irritated.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we file that one under Nobody Cares, Sam?
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. What do you think? You're better than me?
You think you're better than me?
I hate how much people quote that part. It, like, drives me up the wall how many people, like, will quote that.
Why don't you step up your quotableness game?
Just, like, because I'm too busy doing the research and, like...
I didn't even know what theory we were doing today. I felt like I betrayed you so much.
You did. So what she's talking about right now is, like, we open up Zoom and she's like, oh, yeah, like...
Bedwetting theory.
And I was like, are you serious? Like, well, then mind you, like, let the record show that she and I have been talking about this all week.
We talk about this stuff all the time, though. Like, I thought we were doing the bedwetting theory first. I even made a post on Instagram about it. Like,
the one time you're taking, like, the first initiative to, like, advertise.
Everybody get ready.
Oh,
except me.
Right. And even in the, like, last episode that we did, I was like, okay, everyone, like, get ready for the, oh, you know what it was? We were going to do all three theories in one
episode. Yeah, we said it was a triple banger.
Yeah, but it's not because we realized pretty quickly how in-depth these theories are. So tonight we're going to do the pineapple theory. And then next week we're going to do the bedwetting theory and the sex game theory in one.
So
I can't be too mad at you, but I'm almost positive we had decided that.
I listened to that podcast the other day.
Which one?
I finished the end of it yesterday or the day before, the most recent one.
The victim shoes?
No. No, I finished our podcast because I always listen to him again because I'm a huge fan of the show and honored to be on here. And so I finished it and you were like, 3 for 1.
Yeah, I did say that.
Yeah. Well, today we're discussing the pineapple theory, and this is actually the theory that got me interested in the case because for me it was a open and closed case. The parents were exonerated, or I guess not. What's the correct word for that? Cleared.
Right.
And let's be clear. They're cleared. That's right. A quote from ABC.
Right.
But after looking into the lack of validity in the DNA evidence and things like that, and you rambling about pineapple for hours, finally I realized there's a lot more to this case than, the DNA cleared the parents. And this is one of the many theories that people have kind of pieced together based on the information that we're able to gather from primary and secondary sources.
Yeah, this is an extremely popular theory.
Oh my gosh. It's probably the most popular theory, to be honest.
I would actually argue you're in two camps, and that's a intruder theory or the pineapple theory.
Pretty much. I would say that's pretty rarely, much true.
Hear it outside of it.
Yeah, someone's like, Patsy Ramsey killed her.
It's rare. Just not very common.
You'd be like, what? Yeah.
I want to give a bit of a shout out. I have true crime TikTok, the algorithms, and I had a really awesome conversation with this TikToker. Her name is Megan, and she wants to come on here and everything. But I've noticed in JonBenet Ramsey TikTok, it's always about the pineapple theory. And so, I'm excited to talk with her because she did a really good video on it and stuff like that. And I'm going to put a clip of it in our intro this week, and I asked her about it and everything. So if you go on TikTok and look up JonBenet, everyone's pineapple theory, pineapple theory, pineapple theory, intruder theory.
So
pineapple
true.
Theory, pineapple theory.
Instagram too. Yeah, you don't really see many people pumping the intruder theory. I do run into people all the time that follow the intruder theory. And I feel people who are more informed on the case either cannot form an opinion at all or, right. But I do run into people all the time that they just cannot. Okay, let's go on to the pineapple theory.
Okay, so much like last week, we're going to read off our theory because, as you can guess by now, we get on side tangents quite a bit. And we know this case so well, so it's easy for us to get distracted. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to read it off. And also, I just need everyone to know right now, I realized upon listening to this podcast that I have this thing where I'll repeat myself. And me and Lindsay have talked about it. I'm like, why am I repeating myself? So when we record these episodes, we record them both with video and with audio. And so I went back to look at the video footage. And the reason I repeat myself is because Lindsay will make crazy faces at me and I'll get distracted and then have to repeat my thought. So if you're ever like, oh God, this podcast would be so much better if Sam didn't always repeat themselves, it's because of that. And so you should blame Lindsay.
Actually, I met a fan of the show that said they like that you repeat things.
No, you didn't. Was walking down the street, did you get recognized for the show?
No, not yet. Okay. Yeah, right. It's an audio podcast.
I know. That's why I was like,
who would recognize someone from an audio podcast?
That's what I'm saying, man. Well, we're not popular enough for people to recognize us, but maybe one day. Okay. So we're going to read it off first, and then we're going to discuss, the stuff behind it, why it exists, what's the problems with it, things like that.
And you can read it from forwards to end, and I will read it from end to forwards at the same time. Ready?
What?
Or you can just read it, and we'll alternate paragraphs if you want to be boring.
In my brain, that took me a second to realize what you were talking about, and I was like, what are we doing?
What planet am I on?
All right. Well, let's alternate paragraphs like we usually do. So how about you start us off?
Was the night before... No, I'm sure.
Was the night before Boxing Day and all through the house.
Yeah. So the night before JonBenet's alleged kidnapping, John Ramsey carried his daughter to bed and tucked her in one final time. While this was happening, Patsy was in the kitchen preparing Burke a late night snack.
After the parents went to bed, JonBenet walked down the stairs and saw Burke eating pineapple. This prompted her to steal a piece of the pineapple Burke was eating, and it made him mad. He grabbed a heavy flashlight from the counter and hit JonBenet on the head. The rest of the night involved staging from the parents to make it look like a kidnapping gone wrong.
According to a family friend, Burke Ramsey had always been quick to anger, even before his sister's death. During a game of golf with his sister, Burke lost his temper and hit her in the head with a golf club, leaving a scar on her head. Burke lashing out at his sister did not end there. According to Ramsey's former housekeeper, Linda Hoffman Pugh, Burke used to spread his feces around his sister's room whenever she upset him.
Investigators uncovered a large flashlight beside the bowl of pineapple Burke had been eating. Seeing as though the flashlight was within arm's reach, Burke grabbed the flashlight in a fit of anger and beat his sister with it. On top of this, JonBenet Ramsey's autopsy revealed that there were pieces of undigested pineapple in her stomach. This proves that she did consume the pineapple that had been prepared for her brother. Well, I guess it doesn't prove that she... Yeah, it doesn't prove that she ate that specific pineapple, but it proves that she ate pineapple very quickly before her death. So before we carry on, there's a little bit of a side Burke Ramsey theory that we'll get into. But first, let's discuss the pineapple theory real quick.
Right. So I think one of the things about this theory that makes it really compelling is most of the other theories make the fact that she ate pineapple it doesn't fit into the theories, but in this one, it fits in perfectly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also compelling because it's so simple, you know, like instead of this like horrific kidnapping and all these terrible things, it sounds like it could just be an accident between siblings, and it just makes it nice and simple. Like, she went to grab his pineapple, he hit her in the head, not realizing it could hurt her. The parents panic and, out of protection of their son, cover it up. And it's a super appealing theory, which is why it's probably the most popular theory involving the case.
Right. And I think the CBS documentary does a really good job covering this theory. It's a shame that it was, you know, so shortened, but one major flaw I noticed in the theory is they can't account for the strangulation with that theory in that way.
Yeah. So that's my hang up. That's my primary hang up with the pineapple theory is that, you know, and I understand that experts, you know, can't agree on what the actual death of the child was and what came first. But if we're going based on the autopsy and like the stuff that we've read from the autopsy, it sounds like the strangulation happened first. And obviously that doesn't fit in with the pineapple theory. And that's also why I always talk about how the pineapple kind of ruins every theory, because even the pineapple theory is ruined.
Well, here's the thing. How could we fit the strangulation injuries into this theory as it stands? Well, he'd have to be carrying this like handmade garrote or carrying some nylon cord on him. And, you know, I mean, it's possible he could have fashioned a garrote. I mean, that's actually like a sex asphyxiation play toy usually. So you don't really see kids making stuff like that. But, you know, back when we first started talking about this, you know, months ago, I said, you know, maybe Burke was a Boy Scout or he was a sailor, like he liked to sail. And he was in Boy Scouts and he does sail. He would be able to make knots that you see on the garrote because they said they look like sailing knots. So it's possible maybe he saw, I always say, you know, something on Dragon Ball Z or like maybe he loved video games. Obviously, I've never watched Dragon Ball Z because I
know you. Okay, for everyone listening, every single time Lindsay and I discuss the pineapple theory off of this podcast, she always talks about maybe Burke was, you know,
watching Dragon Ball Z.
Watching Dragon Ball Z and got this idea. And I don't think she knows what Dragon Ball Z is. It has nothing to do with any of that. They're like little Pokemon monster things. Like, it's not.
I don't think that's right either. I think you're thinking of Digimon.
No, I'm thinking about Dragon Ball.
Ball Z has got Goku or whatever his name is. I think I know more about Dragon Ball Z than you do.
Okay, well, either way, they're not fashioning garrots and killing each other with them.
Okay, but like maybe nunchucks or something that you might like, you know, see in a video game. Like, it's possible he made this like weird weapon and was carrying it on him. Like, I teach boys. Boys are like always, you know, doing weird things and making little weapons and, you know, so who knows, but
I actually don't think the knot is that weird. Like, people always talk about the sophisticated, like, it being too sophisticated for a 9-year-old to make. And I grew up with two brothers who were in the Boy Scouts, and they were always, like, creating little weird knots as, like, practice. So, like, I just kind of dismissed that altogether because I think it's definitely possible. Do I think he was eating pineapple and had a garrote in his pocket and then, like, went that route? Probably not. I also looked up Dragon Ball Z, and you're right. I actually know nothing about it.
You're thinking of Digimon.
My bad.
Digimon, digital monsters.
Yeah,
I think
you're
right. Okay, so
it makes it really hard that the strangulation allegedly happened prior to the blunt force trauma. Like, that's it really doesn't work well with the pineapple theory.
Well, you also, if you don't look at them as separate events, like sometimes if someone is being strangled, they're flailing about and they may hit their head on something.
Yeah.
So they may become injured during strangulation. So, you know, it's possible that those were very close in time.
Yeah. I think the problem with it too, though, is that intention changes. So the nice appealing thing about the pineapple theory is that, you know, he just lost his temper and hit her in the head with a flashlight and didn't mean all that harm. But strangulation first, if he, you know, if she took his pineapple and then he strangled her, like, that's a lot more violent and that is like a lot more intentional.
I don't know. I think if you have anger problems and you watch a lot of Dragon Ball Z.
What a Dragon Ball Z! Do you have, like, PTSD from Dragon Ball
Z? No, I actually never even, like, watched it. I had all sisters, so I didn't even, like,
really watch it. I was going to say, did, like, one of your sisters, like, beat up on you and be like, I learned this from Dragon Ball Z?
Me and my sisters didn't really beat on each other. Well-behaved, pageant kids.
Right.
So anyway, based on... So if she was able to be strangled after, some people say the strangulation was staging, but can you picture John Ramsey or Patsy Ramsey getting down to their deceased child's level and just like strangling their child who is already dead or near death? Like, that just seems really outrageous staging to me.
I don't think it's that weird.
Are you crazy?
No. And my reasoning for this is that a lot of times in this case, you'll hear statements like that from people being like, I just can't believe this theory because I don't see how a person can do that. But I also couldn't see how someone could have Munchausen's by proxy and medicate their daughter their whole life, making them think that they can't get out of a wheelchair. And yet D.D. Blanchard did that very thing. I also can't conceptualize killing my children and my wife the same way that Chris Watts did. Like, we can't conceptualize these things because we don't think we would do them. And that doesn't mean that people aren't capable of doing them.
Chris Watts is a piece of shit.
Oh, 1,000%. But I'm glad you mentioned this because this is a great segue for me. And it's something that I was really excited to talk about in this. So we've done pretty much a whole episode without talking about The Victim Shoes, the other podcast that Lou Smith's granddaughters are in charge of. And there's something I really want to talk about. And this is my psychology rant real quick. So Lou Smith's granddaughters in their podcast state that, and they also have recordings of Lou Smith saying this too, and it makes me really disgusted. And they said that, you know, a key point of evidence is like a person's character and like their past. And like, they emphasize this by saying, like, both John and Patsy, like, their characters are squeaky clean. Like, everything they've ever done in their life has always been great. And then the same for Burke Ramsey. They, like, make a point to be like, oh, we couldn't find much on Burke Ramsey because there's not much really out there, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Because he's so normal.
Right. So
that's what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And okay, one, the thing that really is absurd about that idea is that's the kind of thing that leads to, like, false accusations and, like, you know, arresting people who are innocent, because it gives you that idea of, like, this person has a drug possession from when they were 13, so clearly they were very capable of killing this other person, or, like, and then vice versa. Like, how many, like, true crime stories do we know in the world where, like, the person, if you had asked their friends and family, they would be like, I never saw this coming.
Well, there's this one weird phenomenon where people, if you find out, like, your neighbor had three women held hostage in their basement, like that guy in Ohio, they say, oh, I always knew he was weird.
Right.
You know? When you didn't always know he was weird, but now you want to sound like you're smart and you know something. Right. So, like, I think that also kind of perpetuates the idea, like, once guilty, always guilty. I always knew there was something wrong there.
Well, and so when they bring this up in their podcast as, like, actual evidence, stating, you know, like, the Ramseys are so unbelievably normal, which I took to mean the Ramseys are white and rich.
Hell yeah.
Because, first of all, like, you and I have talked about this before, and I've made an analogy similar to, like, Dee Dee Blanchard, who is Gypsy Rose's mother. And I told Lindsay, I was like, you know, if the roles were reversed and Dee Dee had killed Gypsy Rose, the people in that community that they lived in would be shocked. Like, they'd be like, oh, she was the most caring mother on the planet. She did everything for her, like, da-da-da-da-da. Like, not realizing the Munchausen by proxy.
That she was poisoning her child and abusing her.
For, you know, her whole life.
Her whole life.
And so this idea that, you know, a person's character can be used as evidence, I find extremely insulting. I find it so insulting.
I have another compelling example that I like to use, because John Bennett Ramsey likes to say, anytime someone says, well, you know, anytime a child dies in the house, it's pretty likely that, you know, it was a family member. And he says, right, right. But in those cases, there was always a history of abuse, a documented history of abuse. Notice I said documented. CPS was called. And the first thing that popped in my head was, what about Chris Watts?
Right.
Chris Watts, right. Who was a great father, a good husband, and he murdered his wife and he took his kids out there and he shot them both, those little children. And, you know, another thing is like, I think people can't wrap their head around either the parents doing it, because they're like, well, parents, I think they loved their kids. And it's like, I think Chris Watts loved his kids too.
Yeah.
I think Chris Watts is a fucking monster and he deserves to be in prison. And if you think he's innocent, you probably should get your IQ checked. But I mean, that's just one of the many examples of people who did not have, not only no documented history of abuse, didn't have CPS called, but they had no abuse at all in general.
Well, and if you're gonna make the claim that, like, a person's past defines them, but then ignore Burke Ramsey's past, then you're doing an injustice, because we do know he hit her with a golf club that caused her to get plastic surgery. And we do know that he wiped feces around her room, allegedly. But he was exhibiting, like, violent or at least negative behaviors towards her. So if you're going to say, and don't get me wrong, because I don't agree that a person's character defines what they're capable of and can never be used as evidence, unless, you know, someone murdered someone and then they got out of prison and then someone else was murdered and they were like, oh, that guy used to murder people. Like, but, you know, like saying, oh, like Joe Schmo, like, stole some milk once. So, like,
stole a loaf of bread.
That's not even how it goes, but, like, all I did was steal some bread. Anyways.
No.
Yeah.
I'm doing the 24601 one.
Yeah, the confrontation.
Da 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 da.
Yeah. You know nothing, 24601. All I did was steal some bread.
He says it like more than once.
I stole a loaf of bread.
You're not wrong. I don't know what you're doing.
He's like rapping.
You know what though? Anyways, that's a great example though, because Jean Valjean wasn't a bad person just because he stole some bread.
He was. Once guilty, always guilty.
Let the record show that Lindsay's
he's poor. Of course he's guilty.
Let the record show that Lindsay's just being sarcastic and annoying. Thank you.
Why do you keep using the word annoying to describe me? I sometimes find you annoying, yeah. And I don't use that word to describe you on a very public podcast that has 100 viewers now.
It'd be okay if you call me annoying. Sometimes I annoy myself.
You're annoying.
It's okay. Yeah, I'm thank you for letting me kind of do that like little like side rant, because you know it really bothers me like people perpetrating stuff like that, because it's what leads to these terrible narratives that people hold on to, and I just cannot stand it.
There's got to be more to this theory. She had pineapple in her stomach. She had feces in her room.
She didn't have feces in the room that day, but...
Yes, she did. There was a bag of peppermints with feces on them. She got peppermints for Christmas.
Oh, my God. That day?
That day.
What?
Yes.
My mind is fucking blown right now. I don't even look...
Yeah, there's smoke coming out of your ears.
Oh, my God. I...
Do you want to verify it really quick before we keep talking about it?
I mean, we can just keep talking, but I'm just, like, fucking blown
You're
away.
Shook?
Yeah. I didn't realize. I mean, I heard the peppermint story.
Well, that's why I first heard the feces thing, was that he smeared it on her peppermints that she had gotten for Christmas.
Oh my God, you're right.
Look at that. Hey, we've talked about that before. You must have just forgot it.
Smeared his feces on her Christmas presents.
What a dick. Like, what a child asshole.
After the crime technicians went through it, they apparently found feces smeared on a box of candy she had gotten for Christmas.
Peppermints.
Oh my God.
Qualify as candy. Isn't that sick? Like, who does it? Like, Merry Christmas.
I'm like amazed right now.
Merry Christmas, you little bitch.
Okay, well, see, like, here's the thing. I mean, he was like 9. I mean, like, I knew he had problems with wiping feces around her bedroom and stuff, but they never kind of gave like an age or anything like that. I didn't realize that, like, that fucking
day
like
yeah it was that day. That's why I always thought that was weird. That's also something that doesn't go unnoticed. Like, if you are a parent and your child is doing things like that, you're not like, oh, boys will be boys. Like, that's not a boys right. will be boys. That's deranged. That's sick and pathological.
Well, and that's why, you know, a lot of people theorize about Burke, because there's a sense of hatred with him and JonBenet.
Yeah, and I think that also just goes for his demeanor in the child psychology interviews and also in the Dr. Phil interviews.
Yeah, so let's talk about those interviews, because though they're not exactly evidence or anything like that, we can discuss
his character.
No, his unusual
behaviors. Yes, so the child psychology interview that happened 4 months after JonBenet's death, when the Ramseys finally were negotiated into acceptable terms of an interview, which is absolutely ludicrous that it took that long. He was interviewed and he says, you know, oh, I slept through everything. I didn't hear anything. And they're like, okay. And he's like, I never hear anything. I'm a really deep sleeper. I always sleep through everything. And they're like, okay. And then is that the one? That's the one with the male interviewer, right?
Yeah. And he, the biggest thing I got from it is he uses really derogatory language.
He does.
Specifically when he talks about how the first time he woke up was to Patsy running around his room, and he says
no, running around he heard his mom downstairs.
No, but she goes in his room.
Did he say that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I have it like written down verbatim. Oh,
okay.
But the first time he woke up was to his mom running around the house and into his room. And he says, my mom was running around like a psycho.
Going psycho.
And the analogy I like to make with that is like when you come home late from hanging out with your friends and your mom yells at you and you tell your friends like, oh man, my mom was just going crazy. Like, it was just really
trivializing it.
Yeah. And, you know, at one point he says, you know, that he didn't move out of his bed. He pretended to be asleep when a cop came in there as well. And he thought, yeah. And he said, I thought, you know, maybe JonBenet is missing.
Right. And I think most people found that to be really weird, but I don't think that's that weird that he said that, because, like, obviously, if, you know, people are, if your mom is going psycho downstairs and a cop comes in your room, you're not going to be like, maybe my brat sister is missing. You'd be more like, the fuck is going on? And he probably filled in the details later on. Like, when you remember things in hindsight, it's like, oh, that's why there's a police officer in my room. You know, so I think he was probably just, like, filling in the details.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. And then, like, when he's talking to Dr. Phil about it, and this is something, I try not to look into the Dr. Phil interview too much.
Oh, God.
But he does say at one point that Dr. Phil was like, did you want to know what was going on in the house? Like, why did you fake asleep? Like, why didn't you ask what was going on? And he was like, oh, I didn't want to know.
Yeah. And I heard, in the interview I listened to today with him, he said, you know, I figured I'd be told later. Like, he didn't ask about it when he was, you know, being whisked away. He didn't ask his parents what's going on. Cause, like, I mean, you know, as a kid, if you heard something going on downstairs, like, even like your parents fighting, or, you know, if someone got sick and had a heart attack or something, like, you'd run downstairs to see what's going on. And then your parents would be like, go back upstairs, you know?
No, absolutely.
So it's like, why is your first instinct to pretend you're asleep? Like, that's just a really weird, like, I don't know if that's like a coping mechanism or what, but that's just really weird.
He said he was scared. Like, partly that he was scared and also didn't care. So, I mean, I think he was kind of, I don't know if it was one of those things that's like, I just don't want to get in trouble, so I'm going to, like, sit here because something serious is happening. But I feel like that goes against all of your instincts. Because even today, as a 30-year-old person, I'd run around being like, what is happening?
You'd go psycho.
Oh, yeah, like, totally psycho.
In another one of the interviews, when he's, I think he's, like, 11... because I think the first time they interview him, he's like 9. And then, like, 2 years later, they interview him. It's a female child psychologist, forensic psychologist or something. And she's like, so you got any secrets? And he's like, he's like, yeah, probably. And she's like, you want to tell me? And he's like, no. He's like, I don't. And she's like, why not? And he's like, because they're secrets and I don't want to fucking tell you, you weirdo. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but, but, you know, he's just too. Like, and instead of, like, being like, okay, let's, like, push a little harder on this. First of all, she was, like, really, like, unlikable. I hate to say that because I'm sure she's a nice person. Like, she seems like a nice person. Maybe Burke just wasn't giving her anything to work with. But, well, you know,
weirdly abrasive.
Yeah, she's a little bit. I think he kind of shut down a little bit. And then I don't really remember much else from that interview. But that's the one with the mail. I believe that's where they show him the picture of the bowl with the pineapple and milk in it. And he just totally shuts down, and he's, like, on the edge of his seat, leaning all the way over, staring at it. And they're like, oh, what's this? And he's like, I don't know. It could be anything. And they're like, well, what does it look like? Is it, you know, he's like, it's a bowl. He's like, is it cereal? And he's like, no. And they finally get him to say it's pineapple. And at some point, like, they ask him, oh, what's JonBenet's favorite snack? And he's like, I don't know. And it's like, everybody knew it was pineapple. There's a point where Nedra, who is Patsy's mom, says that if you gave JonBenet a can of pineapple, she would eat the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think, like, what is suspicious to me is, like, the Ramseys being really adamant that there was no pineapple at all that day, because it makes me think that they don't want them to follow a pineapple trail. You know what I mean? Like, they want to kind of, like, almost, like, make it sound like it's just not important, which is what intruder
theory people
do.
Why didn't they throw the bowl away, though? Like, why would you leave the bowl on the table?
Chaos, in my opinion. Like,
I don't know. They had all night.
Yeah, but what else? Would you think to throw away the
bowl? Yes. Yes. If my deranged little son attacked his sister over pineapple, I would definitely think to throw that out.
I don't know, because
I would make him eat it all.
I don't think that was, like, in my opinion, I don't think
that wasn't the priority.
Yeah, right. Because I've thought about that too, and I was like, you know, they're not thinking, oh, we need to throw away this pineapple because her autopsy is going to show pineapple. So, like, then they're going to figure it out. Like, they're not thinking that. They're thinking, how do you stage the rest of it so that none of this comes back to
allegedly.
Well, not, yeah, alleged, but clearly theorizing. I don't believe in the pineapple theory. I'm just discussing, like, what those holes in logic are and what they entail.
Speaking of holes in logic, let's go back to when the officer goes into Burke's room. And ever since you pointed this out, like, this really surprised me that, like, you pointed out, why didn't the officer do an actual wellness check on the kid?
It drives me insane.
Why didn't the parents even wake him up and say, hey, are you okay? Did you see anything? Did you get molested by this weird intruder that came and murdered your sister and kidnapped her? Or, you know, like, nothing. I mean, and it's, but what's even more weird, though, I mean, is it more weird that the parents didn't go wake him up and make sure he hadn't been hurt? Or is it weird that the police didn't do it? I mean, that's just pretty negligent in both cases.
I think it's extremely negligent in both cases. And I think it was because when I first learned about this case and learned that they just let Burke chill in his room until it was time for him to go to, like, their friend's house, I was like, wait, so you have this idea that, you know, someone broke into the house and kidnapped her, but you're not going to check the other child for, like, bruising, sign of sexual abuse, like, talk to them, make, especially when the kid, like, won't come out of the room and is, like, pretend to be asleep. Like, I would be definitely checking on that. Like,
maybe he's a really good actor and they thought he was actually asleep.
Wake him up.
Wow.
Wake him up and talk to him, because what if the intruder had gone into his room first? Or what if he went to the bathroom and saw someone in the hallway but didn't think to mention that, you know? Like, okay, well,
I don't really care.
He's like, hey, Jim, what's up?
He's like, I just don't really care.
He's like, I just don't want to, he's like, I just want very little to do with this, so.
Like, I saw some guy in a ski mask wearing gloves, but I'm trying to move on with my life at this point. That's a direct quote, by the way. They ask him when he's using these, like, derogatory terms to, like, talk about his mom and his sister. They talk about, oh, what about your parents? The female interviewer says this, and he goes, yeah, they cry a lot. And he's like, she's like, oh, and, you know, what about you? And he's like, well, I'm just trying to move on with my life at this point.
Obviously, yeah.
What about when they ask him, what do you think happened to her? He goes, I know what happened to her.
Yeah.
And he laughs. He goes, ah! He does, like, weird laugh. I was like, whoa. It's like a nervous laugh.
He doesn't help himself with all these theories, I swear, because, you know, he became such a prime suspect of the true crime community because of, like, these odd behaviors.
These weird mannerisms.
Well, yeah. And when he says, like, I know what happened to her, like, someone murdered her, he said, like, I don't know, maybe they stabbed her, or maybe they, and then he puts his hand behind his head and motions, like, maybe they hit her in the head with a hammer.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird when he took ownership of, you know, that, like, by saying, like, oh, maybe they hit her, and he demonstrates it. Like, we all know what hitting someone over the head looks like, you know, you little 9-year-old fuck.
Yeah, well, and, you know, the apathy behind it is what gets me. It's, like, not what he's saying, but how he can talk about someone murdering his sister with a hammer.
And that was,
like,
really weird.
Almost playful about it, you know, being like, maybe it was like a bam, you know, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, like how fucking Bugs Bunny hits Elmer Fudd over the head.
Right, and it's like, all right, well, my mom cried when she found out JonBenet Ramsey died. She didn't even know her. She was, you know, tragically upset. But Burke Ramsey is like, bam, bitch went down. Like, what?
Wow.
That's a quote from Scream, by the
yeah,
way.
That's not a quote from Burke Ramsey.
No, it's a quote from Neve Campbell. Oh, not Neve Campbell, but her friend. But anyways.
Oh, yeah, the cute blonde one. I forget her name.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, that's pretty weird. I think there's like one thing we're leaving out about the theory that we just need to go back to. And then I think we could talk about the alternative theories involving Burke.
Yeah. So another pineapple theory, like, point is the 911 call. So we played the 911 call in our first episode. And there's been wild speculation about the 911 call, but what we do know as a fact is that Patsy didn't hang up the phone when the operator was saying, Patsy, Patsy, Patsy. Mm-hmm. And you can hear some like ruffling in the background. And
yeah, it sounds like, I can't even, it's so bad. But when they enhanced it, it sounded like there were three different speakers. There was Patsy, there was John, and then there was a high-pitched, smaller voice. And they, you know, speculate that to be Burke, which, you know, that could just mean he was awake when they made the call. That doesn't mean he was, you know, implicated in the murder at all, even if he was awake. But it's just kind of a weird detail to purposefully leave out and then, you know, have your child go hide upstairs and pretend they're asleep.
Well, and it's – so when they did the audio enhancement in the CBS documentary, and this is even something prior to the CBS documentary that Steve Thomas talks about, is that when you do an audio enhancement of the 911 call, they think you can hear a voice say, what did you find?
Oh, God, I hate that they always – they never say – so it's first Patsy goes, oh, Jesus. And then allegedly John goes, we're not talking to you. And then Burke goes, what did you find? They never just say, what did you find? It drives me freaking nuts that they always say, what did you find? Now you'll never be able to unhear it. They do this every time they mention this call anywhere. Okay. What did you find?
It's important that I state right now, like, we're talking about this audio enhancement. We're not saying that this is definitively what was said, you know, in that room. Because we don't know. It's still kind of in the ear of the beholder. Like, and I know that, like, a lot of people have, like, issues with the audio enhancement, and some have even claimed that CBS rigged that and are lying
about
it.
That was way before CBS, though. Like, whenever Steve Thomas's book came out, it was like some aerospace company had enhanced the audio.
Well, you know, Lou Smith, he claims that it's impossible to enhance that audio.
Oh, I didn't realize he was an audio engineer.
Yeah, he kind of does it all.
Yeah, forensic audio engineer. That's amazing.
Forensic pathologist. He is
he climbs through windows.
He's a foliage expert and a spider lab.
Spider expert. Is a spider connoisseur.
Yeah, a digestion expert as well. But yeah, no, he actually claims that audio enhancement doesn't exist and doesn't say anything. Which
so it's not evidence. We just throw it out.
It's just not evidence.
Just throw it out.
But. Yeah. But, you know, and okay, again, I don't know about the audio enhancement. I'm not, you know, an expert in the field, but so they talked with the 911 operator, Kim Archuleta. And I think that regardless of audio enhancement, we have the operator who also claimed that she heard people talking after the alleged like hang up of the phone.
And I believe she thought she heard, you know, the phone be put down and it didn't click the receiver because, you know, it's the 90s. They don't have cell phones. She thought she heard her say, her being Patsy Ramsey, we called the police, now what? And it's like she went from this state of, help me, please, please, please. And then she went from that panic state to, okay, now what? Like this calm, contemplative kind of sounding voice.
Yeah, and the operator also said that it's really unusual for people who are calling 911 in a panic to hang up the phone because that 911 operator is like your lifeline that you want to like, you know, you want them to tell you it's going to be okay, that people are going to be there soon, that you're going to be helped soon repeatedly.
Where are the cops?
If someone's there.
The ambulance is coming. Like they sit there and they give you updates and they make sure that the status of the situation doesn't change. Like, oh, grandpa's having a heart attack. And it's like, oh my God, grandpa died. Like, you know, that now you need a different team to come help you. So like,
exactly.
You don't usually hang up when you're desperate. And she also didn't say, they said they're going to cut my daughter's head off if any police officers show up, you know, like,
right.
I don't know what to do. Like, she's just like, please, please.
Well, you know, what's funny is that she actually claimed that she didn't read the full ransom note. She just ran to call the police.
Oh,
but she says in the 911 call, it says SBTC victory.
Yeah. I mean, that just means she says who it's signed by.
Right. Okay. But here's my question for you. You see a 3-page note. You're panicked because your child is missing. You see that it's signed with this weird acronym. It says Victory. You run to call 911. Do you remember the acronym?
I think she pulls the note up and says it.
But she says you never touched the note.
Well, I think that's because they were peered over the note reading it.
Well, the corded phone was in the kitchen, which is a separate room from the staircase where the note is allegedly laying.
But sometimes people have really long cords. Like, remember you could get those extended cords? They probably didn't, but I'm just saying. That is weird.
I just think that's weird.
I think that the most, like, telling thing is that, you know, what Kim Archuleta witnessed. I think, you know, that's important. And wasn't she hit with a gag order at some point?
Yeah, she wasn't allowed to testify at the grand jury.
As well. Yeah, she said she was expecting to be called and to testify, but she never was called to testify, which was really shady.
Yeah, because she felt like she had some, like, pretty good information about it.
Yes,
and, like,
she's extremely credible.
She did it for, like, 30 years.
And she's extremely, like, well-spoken and intelligent, and she gains nothing making something like that up. So basically the point of this whole rant was that it's possible that Burke might have been awake when there was a 911 call. Does that mean he hit her in the head with a flashlight because she stole his pineapple? Not necessarily.
Well, so there is another theory about Burke, and we're not going to spend too much time on it because it tends to lean more towards a John theory than a Burke theory. But a more intentional theory about Burke is that he was sexually abusing JonBenet and was sexually abusing her that night and ended up strangling her. There are a few things I can see where this theory is coming from, especially because of his previous behaviors towards her, like the feces and, you know, just having those, like, those bathroom issues and, you know, stuff like that. But the biggest thing tends to be the dictionary situation.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
It's real weird. So while Lindsay looks up the exact quote, because I assume that's what you're looking up, but essentially there was a dictionary in the family room and police took a picture of it for evidence. And then upon looking at the evidence pictures later, Steve Thomas noticed that the word incest had, like, a pointed arrow at it and it was, like, circled or something. And he thought that was very interesting. When we checked the photos from this is a direct quote from the Stephen Thomas book. When we checked the photos from a big manila envelope marked as evidence item number 85KKY, I almost fell out of my chair. And Peck inhaled in a sharp surprise. A picture showed Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary on a coffee table in the first floor study. The corner of the lower left-hand page sharply creased and pointing like an arrow to the word incest. Somebody had apparently been looking up the definition of sexual conduct between family members.
Right, and Peck being Pat Peck, the forensic evidence specialist tech. Guy.
Because it rhymes, that's how I remember. Peck the Tech. Peck the Tech.
So essentially, there was a page dog-eared on the word incest. Was it underlined, according to that quote?
It wasn't on that, but Surreal Wex says it was circled.
Ugh, okay.
So, like, circled and, like, an arrow pointing to it.
Right, so, you know, I do think that there should have been, you know, some concern about these kids and whether or not they're being molested. I don't know that that was because of the parents or what, but I mean, the fact that JonBenet was soiling herself throughout the day, both peeing herself and shitting her bed and peeing her bed. I mean, that is, you know, pretty indicative of, like, you know, a child trying to, I mean, it's like a cry for help. Like, they're scared of their genitals, so they don't want to go to the bathroom. They're trying to be, you know, considered filthy and less appealing, so they won't be a target anymore.
Right.
So whether that was because of Burke, who also had weird feces things that could be linked to molestation, who knows? whether that was because of allegedly John or because, you know, Patsy's corporal punishment may have bordered on something, you know, a little bit bizarre because the child was peeing herself all the time.
Right.
I mean, it's really just speculation at this point, but that's definitely alarming.
Well, on the Larry King interview between Detective Stephen Thomas and the Ramseys, like, Stephen Thomas is very much like, I think this child was sexually abused, like, there's ongoing sexual abuse. And what I found extremely weird is that instead of saying, no, she wasn't, like, sexually abused, instead John says, well, her pediatrician has claimed that there was never any sexual abuse. And I thought that was a really strange comment because, one, it's almost like you're trying to check your sources when you can just say,
she wasn't.
Oh, I never sexually abused her and neither did my wife. Like, that's all, like, you don't need to source that. But instead of saying outwardly, like, no one in our family was sexually abusing her, he says, with a pediatrician, and might I add, a pediatrician who has never done a vaginal exam on her claims that she wasn't sexually abused. Like, why would that even be the leading expert on it?
Right. yeah, and I've noticed that about John as well, is that, you know, like, even in the ABC documentary, he's like, you know, anytime, like, they say to him, oh, anytime a child is killed in their home, it's probably a family member. And he says, well, that's when there's been a, you know, a long, you know, CPS has been called, and, you know, there's a documented history of abuse and a lot of bad things have been happening to that kid already. And it's like, yeah, a documented history of abuse, you know, and it's the same with this as well. Like, do you have any documentation that she was abused? Then no, it didn't happen.
Right.
I don't know.
As for the pineapple theory, it was one of, you know, when I first got into the case, one of my first theories that I got really attached to and really into, I think, like most people. I think it's possible that, you know, Burke could have something to do with it. Do I think it happened in that way? No.
What about, I mean, some people say, what if, you know, he was jealous of her, he hated her, and he did it on purpose?
I think it's more likely that scenario than the pineapple theory.
Right. I mean, there was one point in the interview where she says, what do you think happened to her? And he said, I think someone got her very quietly and tiptoed down to the basement, then hit her over the head. Right. I mean, so is it possible that Burke woke JonBenet up and brought her to another room or all the way down to the basement and strangled her there? I mean, you know, it's possible. I don't think Burke had anything to do with it, if I can be honest. That's just my opinion. I think a lot of his strange behaviors, ever since your wife, who, for those of you that don't know, is a social worker, pointed out that, like, some of his behaviors might be like someone who's on the spectrum, as Asperger's or autism, that I, like, see him in a completely different context now. I don't think he's like this weird deranged killer that got away with it. I think he's just kind of like someone who experiences the world differently than we do.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring that up, because there's a lot of talk about that. I mean, coming from a psychology standpoint and from conversations with my wife, it definitely feels like he's not neurotypical. So, like, he has a hard time keeping eye contact. He uses a different, you know, different words than the average person might. His, you know, smiling during uncomfortable situations, like, the stimming,
so
that he does a lot of stimming. However, without actually, like, knowing more about him or engaging with him, it's kind of hard to truly
diagnose someone.
Well, yeah, because I have said before that there could also be some antisocial disorder behaviors. You know, the experience, not being able to experience forms of empathy, for example.
When he's talking about his dead sister.
Yeah.
Or his mother, who's in a panic.
Right. And, you know, using words like psycho to explain her being worried.
Right. That's
so weird. I don't know if Burke did it. I do think it's possible. I think one theory is, I don't think he went into her room and took her into the basement. And I don't think that they got into a fight over a pineapple. If it happened, if what people tend to ignore is that John said that he put JonBenet to bed and stayed up to put a toy together for Burke. If that didn't, if that wasn't the case, it's possible that Burke and JonBenet were just still awake, playing with their Christmas toys. John leaves for a second. A fight ensues that happens between siblings, and he wrapped a cord around her to mess with her and ended up killing her. That's also possible.
Right, and the hit in the head might be from her thrashing around. She might have hit her head on a ledge or a train set or something. Like, I mean, it'd have to be you know, pretty significant blow.
Yeah.
I mean, that still kind of chalks it up to it would be an accident. I personally don't see Burke implicated in this at all, and I feel really bad. Like, this has literally destroyed his life. So I feel kind of bad for him in that way, but...
Yeah, well, yeah, he tells this, like, really sad story about going to the supermarket and seeing a tabloid with, like, his face on it.
That's his parents' fault. That is his parents' fault. I'm sorry. The way the parents behaved was completely out of the ordinary and completely uncalled for. So I know the media can be fucking horrible vultures, but if the parents had been cooperative, like, I was listening to Stephen Thomas's book on my way here, and he flat out says Linda Hoffman Pugh and her husband were surrendering over, like, you know, they're like, do you have any felt tip pens? They're like, yes, here. And they're like, do you have black duct tape? And they're like, yes, here, we've got three rolls of it. You know, like, they're surrendering over everything. They're being super cooperative. And he's like, it was so weird because that's how I thought the parents were going to be, but they weren't.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll have a whole episode about the politics of that, because that's,
oh,
like,
God.
I know. I'm not even looking forward to that episode, because
it might
honestly
be two episodes.
Like, it, that's, like, the thing that boils my blood the most.
So
the politics surrounding
nonstop.
It. I just can't even handle it.
It is nonstop with this case. Last of all, I'd like to bring up the Dr. Phil interview.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never thought anything about the pineapple theory back when, you know, you and I first started talking about this case. Until I watched that fucking interview, I was like, whoa, this is not a normal situation. It's so... And if you haven't seen this interview, go watch it. For those of you who have seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's that Burke is creepy, like, hysterically smiling through the entire interview, even when he's talking about, like, his sister dying. Like, it was just very bizarre, to the point where Dr. Phil even gives, like, a trigger warning. He's like, for those of you who are bothered by people smiling when talking about death, no, I'm just kidding. But he was like, gave a trigger warning, like, okay, this guy is not as fucking weird as he comes off. He's pretty normal.
Yeah.
He's just a little socially awkward. So get ready to see some smiling.
Right. Yeah. It's hard because it's like, man, he's just not doing himself any favors sometimes.
I know, the poor,
like,
guy.
And the whole thing is a mess. And I go through so many different theories. But yeah, the Dr. Phil episode, I remember when it first came out, and I was so excited. And I was, like, very, like, kind of freaked out.
To tell all.
Well, it didn't tell us anything, like,
except that guy can be a little bit eerie. Of course, you know, if I was on Dr. Phil, I'd probably be a fucking weirdo too. So, like, I would not look like a normal person in national television at all, I'm sure. So, you know, God help him.
Right. I think that, like, pretty much wraps up the pineapple theory. A few things before we, you know, get off here, but we're really, really excited at the possibility of a bonus episode coming up soon. It's going to be really interesting. It's going to, I just wish I could say what it is, but I really don't want to jinx it. But we might have a guest be coming on soon, and we are just incredibly excited about it.
Yes. And we're going to be discussing the bedwetting theory next time.
Finally, for you.
Yeah, I was ready for that last time, so.
I think at the end of this episode, I'm gonna put clips of the episode we did prior of you just being like, and explain to me, if the sheets were wet, then why did I?
yeah. I was like about? All over the place. Yeah, that was really hard to listen to. the whole thing was really, it was very chaotic. It was also like the audio was so imbalanced. It was just like so inappropriately imbalanced. I was just like, oh dear. if we released that, people would be like thumbs downing us hardcore.
It's okay. It happens to the best of us, you know.
Yeah.
But we did a sound check this time. You knew what episode we were doing this time.
Seriously.
I knew what day it was. Like,
off to a great start.
I call all of those a win.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish there was like more to the pineapple theory, but the reason it's so interesting is because it's simple. So
that's true.
There's not much to really elaborate on past those things.
That is, that's that.
So do you want to sing us off then? You already have a song. Oh God. you have that like.
I'm practicing it.
Oh no.
Okay. Ready?
All right. Yep. Let's go.
I'm smiling on the outside. Who knows what's happening on the inside? I would go great lengths for some pineapple and milk.
That was really good.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Keep an ear out for a bonus episode that's coming your way soon.